hand this day. Now, therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for another opportunity to be in church. Thank you for everyone that's here. And Lord, I do pray most of all that your presence would be real among us today. I pray that your Holy Spirit would move and work, would touch hearts and change lives. Lord, that when we leave here, we will all be in a better shape spiritually than when we came. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me now the words that you want said. I ask for liberty, clarity of thought and speech. And I pray that you'd help all of our minds to be free and clear from distraction and concern. Help us to be able to focus our attention for the next few moments on the precious Word of God. And Lord, we'll thank you for it, and we thank you most of all for our salvation through the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 26, we have the record of a second time David spared the life of King Saul. The first is recorded back in chapter 24, the second here in chapter 26. And on both occasions, there were some of David's followers who encouraged him and wanted him to end Saul's life. As a matter of fact, here in chapter 26, one of his followers named Abishai volunteered to do the dirty work. If you'll look there in verse number 8 again, you'll notice it says, then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me, he volunteers, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear. The spear he's referring to is Saul's spear that was actually stuck in the ground next to where Saul had laid his head. You see that back up in verse number 7, the previous verse. But he says, therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. Basically what he's saying is, when I do it, I'll do it right. I won't have to smite him a second time. I'll do it once, and that'll be all that is necessary. Then in verses 9 and 10, you see David's response. In verse 9, David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? The answer is no one. He's letting Abishai know that nobody would be held guiltless in the eyes of God if they stretched forth their hand against the Lord's anointed. At some point, there would be retribution. God would deal with that person. He would have that person put to death if they stretched forth their hand against the Lord's anointed. Then in verse 10, David said, furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, number one, or his day shall come to die, number two, or he shall descend into battle and perish, number three. So he says there are three options, but in one of these three ways, Saul will be dealt with. This is David's way of saying it's not necessary for me to take things into my own hands. God in his own time and his own way will deal with Saul. But it is the second option that David mentions here in this verse that is the subject for today's message. If you'll look there at verse 10 once again, you'll notice the second option he gives. He says, or his day shall come to die. I want to preach for a few minutes this morning on the subject, the day of your death. The day of your death. And I want to get started by saying our day, the day of our death, is the day we spend all of our lives trying to avoid. Even those of us that are saved and say that our desire is to be with the Lord spend our days trying to avoid the day of our death. And you know this because whenever something happens in our life, maybe we get sick, especially if it's something that we consider to be life-threatening, what do? We generally go see a doctor, don't we? We go to a doctor, we get some kind of diagnosis, we hope for a treatment for whatever's going on. We take the medicine that is prescribed for us. We put our name on the prayer list at church. Amen. That's what we do. We ask that the people in our church family and other folk that we know pray for us, that God would restore our health, that He would make us well. Not only do we put our name on the prayer list and ask for prayer, but we pray for ourselves. We ask God to heal us of whatever sickness it is that we have. And we do that because we do not desire, honestly, to face the day of our death. I think about a man in the Bible you read about in Isaiah chapter 38, a fellow by the name of Hezekiah. The Bible says in Isaiah 38:1 that in those days Hezekiah became sick unto death. In other words, he got something, and the Bible doesn't tell us what it was, but he got something that if God didn't do something, his life on earth was going to be over. And God sends Isaiah the prophet to this man Hezekiah with a message, and this is the message that he gave him. He said, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Now that's not the message that Hezekiah wanted to hear when the man of God showed up. But that's the one that God gave him. How was it, according to the Bible, that Hezekiah responded to the news that his day was closed? How did he respond to that? Was he happy? Did he rejoice? Did he say, "Thank God my day is near"? No, the Bible says this. The Bible says that where he was laying on his bed, he rolled over and faced the wall. The Bible says he began to weep sore. That means he began to cry intensely. And he prayed and he asked God not to help that day come, not to let him die. He wasn't weeping because he thought he was going to have to suffer through living longer on the earth. He was weeping because God had told him his day of death was near. And he didn't ask the Lord to take his life, he asked the Lord to prolong his life. And I believe, and I think all of you would agree, that within all human beings and even all animals, there is a drive for self-preservation. Amen? So we spend our lives trying to avoid this death. As I say, even those of us who are saved that talk so much about the Lord and how we want to be with Him, and I have no doubt that we would love to be with Him. We just don't want to be with Him by way of dying. Amen? Now that's the truth. And I would imagine that one of the main reasons why we want the Lord Jesus Christ to come back and the rapture to take place isn't because we're so spiritual and so desirous to be with Him. If we're all honest, one of the main reasons why we want the Lord to come back is because none of us want to meet the day of our death. That's the real main reason. So I want to spend some time talking to you this morning about, I guess, what would not be a real popular subject, but it's an important subject. I want to talk to you about the day of our death. And I'm going to give you five words. Don't let that scare you. I'll try to move on through this quick. But I'm going to give you five words which represent what I want to say to you this morning about the day of your death. Number one, here's the first word. I want to give you the word sudden. I want to give you the word sudden. And the reason why I give you this word is because your day, y'all listening to me? If you listen to me, say amen. Amen. All right. I was afraid y'all done checked out on me. Your day, my day, could come suddenly without any warning whatsoever. Reality is this: you don't have to be old or sick to die. I think for whatever reason we get in our mind that it's only old, sick people. Folk that have gotten older and turned gray-headed and their health has went down. It's only old, sick people that die. Let me remind you that young, perfectly healthy people die every day without one moment's notice or warning. That is reality. Your day to die, your day of death could come suddenly. Any number of things could happen, whether you're young or old, to end your life on this earth in a moment. Any number of things. You don't have to be somebody that's sick. You don't have to be somebody that's unhealthy or old. Anybody in this building right here could die suddenly without any warning. There are people who get up every day and they're healthy, they're young, they're vibrant. Maybe they're older, but they're still vibrant. They don't seem to have a health problem whatsoever. They get out of bed, they're doing fine, they got their day planned out, they have all this stuff they intend to do, and they go out in the day, they start doing some of those things, and then something happens, some tragedy takes place, and just like that, without any warning whatsoever, they're gone. Your day could come suddenly. It could come by way of a car accident. People die all over the United States every day, just by the thousands, in car accidents. I'm talking about folks just driving down the road, minding their own business, everything's fine, boom, out of nowhere there is an accident and they're gone, just like that. No warning, no sickness, just an accident. It could be an ATV accident, it could be a boating accident, a hunting accident, some sports accident. Things happen all the time. This is reality I'm talking about. You don't have to have any warning. God does not say anywhere in His Word He's going to warn you when your day is coming. It could happen without any warning whatsoever. You could have an accident on the job. You could have some unknown health issue. You could just be going along fine. Everything seems to be wonderful, and just like that, a heart attack, you're gone. Isn't that reality? That's how it happens. You could be going along seemingly fine, no problems, have a stroke, be gone. Be going along, seem fine, blood clot, gone. Any number of things, without any warning, just suddenly, you're gone. Back years ago, many years in fact, before I met my wife, I was dating a girl. And she was going to have an operation. The girl's mom was going to have an operation. And she went in to have her operation done. It was supposed to be just a simple procedure, just an in and out, go in, get out, go home, one of those same day deals. No biggie, no major thing. And she went in that day. She had the procedure. The procedure went fine. Everything was fine. We're talking about a relatively young woman. She might have been in her 40s at the time, something like that. She goes in and has the procedure. Everything's fine. They bring her out. She's in the recovery room. Blood clot gone, just like that. No warning whatsoever. I'm telling you, folks, the day of your death could be sudden. You say, this is kind of negative. This is not really something that's enjoyable to listen to. Well, you don't always need to hear what's enjoyable. You shouldn't always come to church with an attitude of, I want to get something positive. You need to come and have an ear to hear whatever it is God has to say to you, negative or positive. And this is reality we're talking about. I like to try to keep us in reality because we're constantly bombarded with stuff now that's wrong, that's lies, that's fables, that takes our mind and our beliefs in a direction that is contrary to the truth of God's Word. So I like to try to keep our feet on the ground, keep us in reality. And reality is that your day could be sudden. No warning whatsoever. You could be gone. Here's the second word I want to give you. Not only the word sudden, but I want to give you the word slow. The word slow. The day of your death could be slow. What I mean by that is it could come after a long, lingering, difficult struggle. That's what I mean. I'm pretty sure all of us in here know people that have been through something like what I just described. Amen? It could come after a long, lingering, difficult struggle. It could come after years of living in a nursing home. It could come after being in and out of the hospital time and time again. It could come after months and even years of treatments that riddle your body and bring it down to where you're just a shell of the human being you once were. Again, I know that's not real positive, but am I not telling you what is true this morning? I'm telling you what is reality. We hope and pray that this is not how it happens. I don't guess I've ever met anybody who wants to have a slow, difficult, painful death. I don't think that's what anybody wants, but we don't know. We have no earthly idea how it's going to go. We don't know if it's going to be sudden or if it's going to be slow, but it could be either or. Here's another word I want to give you. Not only sudden and slow, but I want to give you the word several. The word several. I give you that word because the day of your death could be, it could be several months or even several years from this day right here. Some of you may continue to live for a long, long time. Some of you in here may have many, many more years to live down here on this earth. Some may not have that many, but some of you, especially those of you that are young, just coming along, you may get many more years to live on this earth. The Bible teaches us about people, listen, who lived, this is what it says, to be old and full of days. That's how it describes several people that it talks about. It says they live to be old and full of days. Some of you in here, this is not meant to be disrespectful, it's just the truth, some of you are nearing that description in your life on earth. Amen? Again, that's not being disrespectful or irreverent. I'm just pointing out some of you are not what would be considered young anymore, right? You may be young at heart, but physically, you're not young. Some of you are very near, if not there already, at that point where you have lived to be old and full of days. And that is how it is with some people. They're born and, man, they get to live what seems to be a very long life, a long life by today's standards. Now, by the early standards you read about in the Bible, all of us die young, right? You go back to the early chapters of Genesis and you read about people living to be 700, 800, 900 years old, some people close to 1,000 years. You know, we live 70, 80, 90. If you're really, really blessed, you might get 100 years. Very few people ever see the 100-year mark. Very few people ever see that century mark. Most die well before that time. So by early standards, we all die young. But by today's standards, there are many people who live to be old and full of days. They live that longer life on earth. And that may be how it works out for you. Again, some of you have already had that experience, but there are younger people in here today. It could be that you get to live many, many more years on this earth down here. My prayer is that's how it is. I hope that for you. But here's the thing we need to remember about this truth. Even if we get many more years according to what the Bible says, that time will go by fast. Doesn't the Bible say that our life is a vapor? Isn't that what it says? That appeareth for a little time. A little time, not a long time, but a little time and then vanisheth away. The Bible talks in the Old Testament about our days being swift as a post rider and swift as a weaver's shuttle, something that moves along very fast. And that's something I'm experiencing in my life. Some of you are experiencing the same thing. I talked a little bit in Sunday school this morning about how some of you people that are my senior in age like to constantly encourage me by telling me how bad it's going to get before it's all said and done. Y'all remind me of all the wonderful things I got to look forward to as I age. And I appreciate that. We were talking about sight in Sunday school, but think about it, folks. Think about it. How many times have we had somebody tell us, maybe some of you when you were younger than you are now, you had somebody you made some comment, and they would tell you that time just goes by faster as you get older. And I don't know the times that I've had people tell me that. As I visit with folk, I'll sit with them, and I'll make some comment like, man, it just seems like time flies anymore. And they'll say, well, son, you don't know nothing yet. You just wait till you get older. It just gets faster with age. That's what they tell me. And that's the way it is. That's biblical, by the way. That's biblical. According to the Bible, your time on this earth, even if it's extended, even if you get 70, 80, 90, 100 years, according to what the Bible says, that time will go by fast, according to the Word of God. So your day could be sudden, your day could be slow. It could be several, it could be a long time from now. But here's number four, here's the fourth word I want to give you. You need to pay close attention here. The day of your death could be soon. It could be soon. Matter of fact, it could be real soon. Like how soon? Like today. Y'all with me? Like today. While you're sitting here. And here's the thing. Most of us don't think so. I really, if we were all honest, I don't think any of us sitting here right now, and we really don't have any cause to, I don't suppose, because we don't know of anything major going on in our life, but I don't think anybody here right now honestly thinks that today you're going to die. But you could, couldn't you? It could be real soon. This day that we're in right now, this sermon that you're hearing right now could possibly be the last sermon that you ever hear anybody preach for the remainder of your time. When this service draws to a close today and I give an invitation like I do every Sunday, standing in this pulpit, that could be the last opportunity that some of you have to do business with God. If you're here today and you're lost, you don't know the Lord Jesus, when I bring this thing to a close, that could very well be the last chance that God gives you to get saved. Because this day may be your last day on this earth. Think about it. And what I'm about to say, I'm not trying to be in any way irreverent or disrespectful toward anybody, but I feel compelled just to remind you that we have, in the last few years, had people come to this church on a Sunday morning and never make it back to their house. You understand that? We have had people come, and I know folk, they listen to preachers and they think when a preacher says something like what I'm saying, well, he's just trying to press, he's just trying to get somebody to come forward, he's just trying to get, yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to press on you. I'm trying to reel you in. I'm trying to get you to get your mind on spiritual things and do what you need to do with God, because I understand, friend, that this service right here, this day right here, could be your last day on earth. You may literally not make it back to your house today. We've had other people who came and they did get back home, but they didn't see the next day. Again, I'm not being ugly or disrespectful. I'm not trying to bring down anybody. I'm just telling you reality. We have had people in this congregation come to a service and never get to see the sun come up the next day. So when I tell you that this day could be your last day, I'm not just blowing smoke to you. I'm not just saying something because I'm a preacher and that's what I'm supposed to say. I'm telling you the truth this morning. This day could be your day. I don't know. I don't desire that for any of you. I don't want you to die today, but I know you could die today. This could be your last day. Here's the last word I want to give you, and you really need to pay attention to this one. It could be sudden. It could be slow. It could be several. It could be soon. But last of all, I want to say this. The day of your death is sure. These other things that I talked about are just some possibilities. None of us really know how it's going to work out. We don't know if it's going to be sudden. We don't know if it's going to be slow. We don't know if it's going to be a long time from now. We don't know if it's going to be real soon. Those are just possibilities, things that could happen with any of us in here. But what I do know is that the day of our death is sure. I know that. There's only one exception. Those of you that are saved understand what I'm fixing to say. The only exception to what I'm talking about, the only exception to what I'm talking about, is the rapture, right? And again, I think that's one of the main reasons why we yearn so much for the rapture. I'm sure we want to see the Lord, we want to be with Him, but also none of us in here, in all reality, none of us want to die, do we? We don't want to have to make that crossing. We don't want to have to go through that experience. But the fact is, if the Lord Jesus Christ does not come back first, one day will be your day. One day, whether it's soon, whether it's a long time from now, however high it happens, it's coming. As Brother Ricky likes to say, talking about Brother Ricky Cooper, none of us are getting out of here alive. You hear that? Unless the rapture happens, none of us are getting out of here alive. There are many things we may avoid during our time on earth. There are experiences many of us may get around. God may bless us to the point that we don't have to go through some of the things that we see other people go through. But there's one thing you won't avoid. That's death. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27 says this. It says, it is appointed unto men once to die. Isn't that what it says? You know what that means? That means everybody in here has got an appointment. Everyone. You have an appointment with death. I don't know when that is, but I do know that you have an appointment with death. And unless the Lord shows up first, you will not get out of that appointment. One day will be your day to leave this world. And here's the question that I have. Are you ready for your day of death? If it were to be today, if by some chance you left here and never made it home, or you don't get to see the sun come up tomorrow, or ever how it works out, are you ready for your day? I mean genuinely ready. Where you sit this morning, do you know? I'm not talking about are you 50% sure, 60% sure, 70, you know, kind of in the ballpark. I mean, where you sit this morning, do you know that you know that you know that you are ready for your day? Do you know that? Do you know that when you draw your last breath, you're going to go be with the Lord? Because here's the truth of the Bible. The truth of the Bible is that when our day comes and we leave this world, we will go to one of two places. Amen? When our day comes, whenever that is, and we leave this world, we will go to one of two places. Some people think when you die, it's just over. They're going to take my body, put it in a hole in the ground, and I'll cease to exist. And that's the way it all ends. That's some people's idea of death. There are those who've been deceived into believing that once they die, they'll have opportunity to come back one day, reincarnated in some alternate lifestyle. Then there are those that have bought into all these religious lies that are being propagated, like the religious lie of purgatory. I die, go to some little holding tank, and if a priest is given enough money and prays hard enough, I'll get out of purgatory and I'll spend eternity in heaven. Religious lies that are being propagated. Certain religions propagate that there is instant annihilation for those that are not ready to meet God. They die, and yes, they do get burned, but they just get burned up. They don't have to suffer. All of that is religious falsehood, is what that is. Reality is that when you draw your last breath on this earth, whenever that is, however that is, you will open your eyes either in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ or in the fires of hell. Those are only two options you got. There's no halfway, no middle ground. It's up or down according to the Word of God. Do you know where you'll go when your day comes? And there's even something else you need to think about. Because I know this morning there are saved people all in this congregation who say, because they're saved, yes, I am ready for that day. Well, I will put it like this. If you're saved, then to a great extent, you are ready for that day because you won't go to hell. Thank God for that. Amen. If you're saved, you don't have to worry about going to hell. Praise the Lord for that. But let me ask you this, saved person. Are you ready for your day in the sense that you're okay with what you've done for God with your life and you're prepared to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give account for yourself? Are you ready for death in that sense? Because every saved person, according to the Bible, will one day stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give account for the lives they've lived as saved people. Now, that's not a judgment that's going to determine whether you go to heaven or hell. That's not an issue at all for somebody that's saved. But it does determine how things will go for you throughout eternity. Rewards, blessings, crowns. Are you ready, saved person? See, I don't want you to think, I don't want you to have the idea and the mindset, well, I'm saved, so I'm ready. Whenever it comes, I'm ready. Well, thank God, again, you are ready in that you won't go to hell. But saved person, what are you doing with your life as a Christian? Because it's not just about avoiding hell. It's about how it will be for you in heaven, in eternity. So every person in here, I ask you this morning, are you ready for your day? It's coming. It's coming. I don't know when, but your day is coming. My day is coming. Are you ready? Lost person, anybody in this building here today, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, God, have mercy, you are not ready. I don't care what lies you've bought into, what you're thinking, you are not ready. And 1 second after you die, you're going to wish to God you had listened to this preacher or anybody else that ever talked to you about Jesus Christ. And why don't you right now today, before we leave this place, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? There's no reason to leave this building lost, is there? No reason. Everything's been done that needs to be done. Jesus Christ has paid the price so that you cannot go to hell. Don't leave here lost this morning. And saved person, are you ready? Are you ready? If you're not, if you know that in your life you're not really living like you need to, doing the things for God you need to, I can't think of a better time than right now in this service for you to decide to make some changes in your own life. Start making preparation. The Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. One day, every person in this building we'll meet God. Are you ready? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning thankful for the privilege and the opportunity to be in church. Thank you for the truth, the sobering truth of the Word of God. I pray you had put before us this morning the reminder that death is sure, that one day our day is coming. And whatever decisions need to be made, help us, I pray, to make those in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.